who was the first person for regional corporation, Anna. He was also the company commander for our national branch here in our region. Right now, he is the ASM president. John Jennifer Steele Group, or a pillar of selling money management. Good news to me, hopefully, National Council, organized out of Madhav, Alaskam, good news to me, money command our input. For him, whatever, accident general law holding, National Council, you know, thank me, open of holding, Alaskam,
we did it to try and get knowledge passed out.
weren't sure how we were going to do that yet. At that time, we had trouble even finding people to transcribe and then translate the information and knowledge so that it could be used in our schools, because we thought at that time that the only way you could pass knowledge on was through schools. Because after all, didn't you and your parents, everybody's parents say that the only way you're going to get ahead in this world is if you go to school? And we believe it. But after a while, we found out that that wasn't enough. That knowledge was not only not being used in the schools, it was not the way to pass it on. Not the only way, anyway. And so we started looking at other ways. 10 years ago, we started the New Faith Mission Crusade. One of the reasons for that was so that elders could pass on their knowledge to younger people. Transfer of knowledge, one of the most important things that can happen. We found out the schools couldn't do it all. So we started trying to organize elders so that they could transfer the knowledge that they have to younger people. We had some trouble. What knowledge? We asked each other. And when we came down to it, it was really easy because we didn't have any trouble getting that answer. We had an elders conference going on at the time we asked the question, and they said values, traditional values, is what you have to pass on. And so we spent a lot of time, a whole lot of us, almost 400 people in this region, trying to figure out what values and what they meant. Finally, we gave up on what they meant and agreed on a set of values, which everybody is copying in the whole state. Because once we put them down, they were the right values for everybody else. But even now, nobody knows exactly what they mean. You can read them, and you can put your own meaning to them. And I guess it's not important how you look at it. It's not important that everybody looks at each of those values the same way. The only thing important is that you get to live those values. And the way to begin to teach those values is for elders to pass on that knowledge about those values to younger people. Transfer of knowledge. In Western societies for the last 100 years, they've been trying to build a society to produce things, to make cars, to make airplanes, to make clothes, to make everything. Things that make our life easier. And in order to do that, they've tried to make everybody the same. Because in order to produce things cheaper and more of them, you have to have everybody dress the same, look the same, talk the same, everything. So that's what they tried to do. And what they found is that that's not enough. Nobody wants to be the same. Even white people don't even want to be the same. Much less the rest of us who have a different color, a different background. So now things are changing. Not just everybody. We have lots of old people who came from this old society and who were successful at it, who got rich and powerful from the old system, who don't want to give it up. But eventually they'll either give it up, or be shoved aside, or they'll die. And the newer, younger people, more enlightened people, will allow everybody to live together even though they're different. And even the way that they were making things now is changing. Your clothing. Not everybody wears the same kind of clothing anymore. You can buy whatever you want. If you want to dress a certain way, you can buy that kind of clothes. And that's what's happening with everything else. When Henry Ford started the automobile industry, there was only one kind of car, and that's all you got. Now, the hardest thing is to buy a car. There's at least 200 different cars you've got to choose from. And that's where everything is. You can do. You're going to build what you want. You're going to make what you want. Almost like living off the country. You don't want to eat one thing, you go pick something else. You don't want to catch one kind of fish, you go to a different river and catch a different fish. So they're coming back to the way we used to live. But the reason for that is because people are getting smarter. They're passing on knowledge. Before, the only people that could make a car were Henry Ford, the engineers and mechanics, because they would have passed that information on to anybody else. So they had control of it, so they could be only one kind of car. Now everybody's got that information. The Japanese have learned it so well from us that they're selling more cars than we are. So that's what happens when everybody starts to get smarter. That's what's happening in this world. Now, you'd think that when people got smarter, they might want to go off and be something else than to be you had. But that's not the case. People need to belong. They need to feel that they belong to something. You can't change people. They have to belong. You can change the way they think, you can change the way they dress, but someplace they have to belong. So it doesn't make any difference where you put them in your back, how you train them, they're still going to be in your back. In fact, if you try to stop them from learning, they're going to turn against being part of their group. You can't stop people. You have to give them the opportunity to learn. That's something that we kind of forgot, I think. Something that was passed down to us. That you have to pass on what you know to other people. Otherwise, it's not important. Your life is not important. What you learned in your life is not important unless you can pass it on to somebody else. You need to do that. Even the bad things. Since I left here, I've started to put my life together a little bit. I quit drinking. Finally decided I was an alcoholic. Since then, I've been trying to tell other people about my experience with alcohol. That experience is still knowledge, something I learned. And I'm passing it on. And some people are listening. Not as many as I would like, but some are. So even your bad experiences that you learned in your life can be something good to pass on to others. And so, I'm working with alcohol and drugs. What I do is tell people to talk about their experiences. We have many people who had trouble with alcohol in their lives. And when they quit, they just quit. They don't tell anybody. And that's not right. Because the people who are having trouble, they think they're the only ones out there. Only people like them are out there. People who are drinking. And that's not true. There are many people who don't drink. So what you have to do is what your elders taught you. And that's to pass on this information, this knowledge that you gain. Pass it on. Tell people that you don't drink. Tell people how good life is without booze. That's the same thing. Every reason I'm using that as an example is because I don't have some of the knowledge that you have about the overweight. And I know that you had earlier, Billy Sheldon talked to you about the values. I'm still learning about those values. I'm still learning how to be an elder. Maybe someday I'll be able to talk about those values just like you can. So, transferring knowledge is very important. And that is what you do. And you don't have to be old to do that. But when you're young, the chances of you passing on the information correctly is not so good. Because our judgment is mature. We haven't learned how to say the right things yet. But when you're young, sometimes you pass on the wrong example. But when you get older, you've had a chance to live through those wrong examples. And it's your job to pass that correct information to younger people. And you have to do it not only by word of mouth, but by your actions as well. Because how you live speaks louder than what you say. Always has. Well, as I said, the rest of the world is catching up. The rest of the United States. They're learning that the most important thing that we have is knowledge. And in the next few years, we're going to see a lot of people who are passing knowledge along. We're trying to make knowledge more accessible to everybody. And they'll do it not because they want to pass on knowledge, but because they have to. Because people have to live smarter. And they'll have the means for getting this information. In the last few years, great things have happened in communications technology. You see it yourself. Once a year, maybe you visit somebody and you hear something. Now you can read it from the newspaper, you can listen to it on the radio, you can see it on television, and if you're like me, you may get a fax machine, somebody can send you a piece of paper over the telephone wires. Or you can call them up, you can do anything. I used to have lots of trouble writing letters. And I felt bad about it because I didn't want to write anything. But now I don't even have to do that. That's working. So I never really had to learn how to write letters. Because that's old stuff. Now you can use a computer. That's hard for us older people to understand. Because all we do is we see this. Some of us even have to have a younger kid to go turn the TV on yet. Or to change the channel. Especially when you're trying to use a VCR. But that's okay. Because it really doesn't make any much difference how much more information, intelligence that we have. Because we've lived most of our life. Now we can just teach others what we've learned. We don't need to learn a lot more. But the younger people, our children, grandchildren, have to learn a lot more. And they know how to operate these machines that will help them get knowledge. In fact, if we're smart, we can use those same machines to get to them. We haven't been very good about that. Right now, we've had trouble trying to pass on information, even in the state. We all know about RadNet, our state television program. It costs so much for them to operate that it's very hard to get a locally produced program on there for people to see. You almost have to just take stuff Smith and Kova, and vice versa, that should be able to, not be able to do that fairly cheaply, pretty soon. Don't have the equipment up here to do it yet, but it can be bought. University of Alaska is looking at some equipment now to teach remotely by computer and over telephone line. And more satellites that can be used, we'll be able to do that. There's no reason why things like EDUCAT can't be taught. Maybe not in the schools. Really surprised and pleased at how well these children are done here. That's great. But according to the linguists, they're still going to lose their language because they don't speak it at home. So they'll lose some words when they grow up, but they won't learn how to speak the language because it's not spoken in their language. Fortunately, we're not the first ones to have this problem. Lots of people around the world have this problem. They're losing their languages. We heard recently that there's only one Kiak speaking person left in Alaska. One language is going to die anytime now because she's an old woman. Because there's nobody that can speak that language fluently except her left alive. Well, that's going to happen here if we don't do something about it as well. As I said, other people are going to have the same problem. 100 years ago, the Maori people, the natives of New Zealand, had the same problem. But little that they could learn in school is not enough to lose their language. So they had to take things into account by themselves. They had to start teaching in their own villages. Unless we start doing that, we're going to lose our language. Because teaching just the kids is not enough. You have to teach the adults too. They have to be involved. The Maori people use what they call language nests. That's what they call their gathering where they teach and learn and speak their language. We have to start doing that as well. We're going to say we're a language. Because 20, 40, 50 years from now, our language will be dead. Like the EX, we'll have one person left alive, maybe, that can speak that language fluently. So other things have to be done. As good as they're doing, it's not good enough. In Canada, they're trying to save their language too. They're trying to teach in schools. And they're having the same problem. There's too much to teach in school. And almost none of their teachers are Inuit. They're outsiders, just like ours. So it's very tough to teach their own language in their school. So what they did, some of the schools, I understand, is to separate their native programs from their other school programs physically. They took another building next to the schoolhouse. And they run all of their native programs in this other building so that they were run by natives for natives. And that's helping. They're able to teach better. They're separated even if they don't get any more time with the kids. The kids move from one room, classroom, or they're speaking English. And they move to another classroom when it's time to be speaking language. Maybe that will happen. But we've got to do something. Because all we see around the state is where schools used to have 2 hours a day for Inupiaq or whatever language, the
could have done it in 1 hour, and in some places only 20 minutes now. They keep getting squeezed. The reason they are is because the parents don't think it's important enough. You aren't forcing them to teach more. Because you're going to learn more. Now, I just found out what the Canadians are doing and how our people are doing just in the last month. I thought I had access to a lot of information, but I haven't. Some information is kept from us. But before long, that won't be possible. We'll be able to get information from all over the world quickly. When that happens, our eyes will be open. We'll find out there are other ways, better ways of doing things. Not just the same way we've been doing things. You see, knowledge has been kept from us. That's the way things are done. It's a process. Don't tell the workers what's going on, because then how would they be the boss? They're bosses because they have knowledge. They have more knowledge than the workers. That's the way our system is run. But now, workers need more information. In fact, they can get it. Most workers in offices and even factories have computers now. They can tap right into the same information that the boss has. And that changes things. That makes everybody smarter. That makes the boss now a part of the team. And that's going to happen with teaching as well. Right now the teacher hoards the information. You hear parents complain. My little girl is smarter than those people in her class, but they don't teach her anything. Why? Because the teacher is hoarding the information. Because the class will get out of control if she lets everybody learn at their own level. She won't be able to control the flow of information. What we're having to do now in the future is to do just that. Let people learn, children, everybody else, at their own pace. Because they'll have the means to learn. They can bypass the teaching. Once we get the means for them to do that. Their own computers, their own televisions that talk to each other. And that's going to happen. And they're going to know how to operate. But the reason I bring this up is because things are going to change in a way that we've never seen it before. And it's going to make the elders' job easier. Because your job is the same as these people's job is going to be, and that is to pass on knowledge, pass on information. And if everybody is doing that, then it's easier for you to do it as well. Now, how do we get people to do that? And this is why Billy asked me to come up here. Because I went through this before. When we started innovating just to say, I started talking about organizing elders. Most of my friends said, what are you going to organize those old drunks for? They're no good. And of course, they were talking about a few that maybe were still doing that, but most people were talking about people who did that when they were younger. When I was growing up in this town, everybody, if there was booze available, would get drunk.